Maz Hakeem. Maz spilling the tea. A Virgin Radio 104.4 podcast. Podcast. Download the podcast now.
On today's episode of Spilling the Tea with Maz, one of the most inspirational women in the UAE, she went from working in international foreign affairs and banking to becoming one of the most amazing yogic teachers here in the UAE and also a pioneer for Kundalini yoga in the Middle East. It's such a pleasure to welcome Nancy, who spreads love and light everywhere she goes. Welcome, Nancy.
Sat Nam, Maz. It's great to be here with you.
It's such a pleasure to have you. Tell me about your journey from the corporate world to where you are today.
So people love asking that question. You could say that about 10 years ago, after having worked in the world of communications, banking, finance, and to some extent international relations, I had hit a crossroads. And that crossroads was having been married for a period of time and having three children. And really just asking myself the question, what do I want? Is this what I want? And just feeling that something was missing from the picture. And it was connected to my experience here in Dubai and wondering what it was that I could do more of here in Dubai, how I could bring more fulfillment, not just to my own life, but to the lives of the people closest to me, and where it was that I could grow. And I was lucky enough at the time to have some amazing people in my life who really helped to open a few doors around what would begin to unlock my spiritual journey and my journey in the realm of emotional intelligence first and foremost, but later in the realm of Kundalini yoga. So about 9 years ago, a friend called me and she said, I have somebody who's just a beautiful teacher and she teaches a school of yoga called Kundalini Yoga. And I know you being the kind of person that you are, you'd be totally open to this. So let's have an experience. And I said, bring her to the garden. So I had my first experience of the practice in my garden. I believe it was just over 9 years ago now. And I haven't looked back. It was a truly transformational experience. It was an aha from the very first time I encountered the practice.
What is Kundalini yoga and how does it differ from different types of yoga?
Okay, so the first thing that is different about Kundalini yoga is the fact that it's very dynamic. So people come to me all the time and they ask, they say, I can't sit still, or I can't sit with my breath, or I don't know how to meditate. And I say to them, well, Kundalini yoga is actually very dynamic. So the first point of difference is that it is a dynamic practice. And it's kriya-based. Kriya means a sequence, and a sequence with a specific intention. So every class is different. So very unlike hatha, very unlike ashtanga, where you will go into the same postures on a regular basis. Kundalini yoga is different each and every time you have a class. So it's the combination of the dynamic movement, the conscious breath work, the eye focus, the mantra. Mantra is sound vibration. We work with the nad, the sound vibration. All together are working to give you a very deep glandular experience. And that experience is creating shifts in your nervous system that are very quick. So Kundalini yoga, as taught by Yogi Bhajan, which is the school of yoga that I teach, is said to work 16 times faster than other schools of yoga.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about, I guess, how people can practice mindfulness and meditation. I mean, there's a lot of people probably stuck in traffic at the moment and they have a lot of clutter in their minds. What are a few tips and techniques?
So the first thing I want to say is that we all have clutter in our minds. because very often I get asked the question, you know, how can I meditate, you know, if my mind is full of clutter and I don't know how to keep it quiet and my mind is a monkey. And the first thing that I would say is that all of us has that capacity for the monkey mind. All of us carries that clutter. So the nature of being human is to carry that clutter. Okay. So when we go into stillness, as we do in meditation, and as soon as we connect with the breath and close our eyes, the first thing that we become aware of is not the stillness, but the clutter.
Right.
Okay. So first, honoring that, that the nature of being human is to carry that, to carry the energy of the clutter. And that you're no different than me, and that we each carry it, and that we, when we go into that place of stillness, it's an opportunity to clean. So meditation is actually an opportunity to clean. So some people say, oh, is meditation brainwashing? I say, no, but it's washing your brain. So in the same way that you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth and you take a bath or a shower, you know, what is it that you're doing to clean? What is it that you're doing to clear? Because if you start the day with that, then everything else becomes an opportunity. In the recognition that by the end of the day, we might have had something that has hit one of our trigger points, and that we can start anew the following morning or at night, whatever it is. So what I would say to you know, people sitting in their car right now or wherever they are, is what are you doing on a daily basis to bring conscious awareness to that clutter? To bring conscious awareness to the fact that each and every day we carry something different. Our energy shifts, our energy changes. We're affected by the environment around us, by the people around us. What are we doing to maintain the awareness around ourselves and to keep that connection with our Sat Nam? So in the language of Kundalini Yoga, we use the mantra or the bij, the seed, which is Sat Nam. Sat means truth. Nam means name. So when we refer to the Sat Nam, we're really reminding ourselves of our true nature, of our true identity. Sat Nam, my true name. So instead of getting lost in the clutter, instead of getting lost in the drama, instead of getting lost in all those vibrations that can pull us down every time we turn on the news, every time we get a phone call with some bad news, every time we open up our social media account and there's something there that triggers us, we have a practice that brings us into the now, into the spirit of I am.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. And you have such incredible skin. You've been married for 19 years. You have 3 beautiful children. What's your secret?
Well, I tell you, Kundalini Yoga has been a big, big part of that. I also feel that it's extremely important to have whatever it is. So it may not be Kundalini Yoga for the next person, but to have a spiritual practice. For me, it's spiritual practice. It's the combination of my yogic practice with doing the things that I love. And that includes taking time out to watch the sunset. That includes, you know, taking time out to be with women and men who inspire me. That includes really filling my, you know, allowing my cup to be filled from my own self-practice first, and then going out and you know, sharing that cup with others. So, in terms of a secret, is just trying to bring conscious awareness to each and everything that I do on a day-to-day basis.
And you've got an incredible love story with your husband. You've been married for 19 years. Does he also practice Kundalini yoga?
So my husband is very, you know, he's an ex-journalist and has quite a senior job in the corporate world and moves a lot, travels a lot. But about a year and a half ago, he surprised me with his commitment to do the Kundalini Yoga teacher training.
Wow.
So I brought a training to the region. It was the second ever Kundalini Yoga teacher training in the Arabian Gulf. And my husband was actually on the training. So for me, that was such a blessing because although he has always supported me on my journey and the children as well, he never really understood it at the depths and to the depth that he does now. So he's not sure necessarily he's going to go out and teach in sort of the way that I do, but certainly that those tools, that skill set that he acquired from doing the training, it's an 8 month or so training, and then about a year from start to finish before one applies for the certification. But that was really a big thing for him. So really being able to understand this world, to speak the language of the world, to go into practice, to meditate with me. He is really keen this summer to go to the Satnam Fest in the United States. So we're going to go and attend that in the Berkshires in the US this summer. He's actually driving that. So I just feel tremendously blessed to be with somebody who has that appreciation, has that understanding, and has enough of the honoring of who I am and what I do to take a leap. But each and every day for us is an opportunity to learn from one another. So after 19 years, you know, it's a constant to-ing and fro-ing. So choosing one another actively is also about honoring who the other person is and what they do.
So. How difficult was it to make that transition from the corporate world into the yogic world?
So some aspects of it were less easy than others. A lot of people really associated me with what I did before. Initially, it was difficult to bridge the gap. I felt that I was still navigating two worlds, and there was a duality in that. A couple of years ago, I took a leap, and I just jumped in full force, and really let more and more people know what it was that I was doing. So I became a little bit more public about what it was that I was doing. People who had associated me with being in the world of banking and finance and financial communications began to see that I was doing something else and that it was very fulfilling. And, you know, what is interesting for me is that that world needs it. I know the corporate world so well. I know the inner workings of that world extremely well. And I really, really believe that, you know, that world needs this type of work. So I no longer see a separation. It was when I jumped from seeing and observing that separation to understanding that they were one and the same, that actually I had a lot to offer that world and that I could use my understanding and appreciation of that world to share the teachings. And that's what I do. I share the teachings in whatever way I can, and the corporate world is one of them.
Where can people practice Kundalini Yoga here in Dubai?
Yeah. So they can reach out to me directly, nancyzabane.com. And details are on my website, and there are various centers across the city that offer it. And across the UAE, in fact. So a few of them are Eco Yoga in the Village Mall. There is Diana in Business Bay at the Oberoi Hotel. Life in One, which is an urban retreat center in Jumeirah One. There is the Body Tree Studio Sweat in Abu Dhabi. We bring regular workshops to different locations across the city. I'm looking to open up a few things at Inspire, potentially Nilaya House. And we're really looking to move the teachings around. So the more we train people in the teachings, the more possibility there is for this energy to really move. So we're going to be seeing more and more of it. When I was practicing, it was just me and my teacher 9 years ago. And it was only until recently that we have a few more teachers. Even now, we're working with a limited number of teachers in the UAE, but I'm looking to change that.
You're a pioneer for all types of yoga, but especially Kundalini yoga. What are some tips, or what can people do right now if they're in their car or they're sitting in stillness, about how to do any sort of breathing exercises or meditation?
So the first thing that I would say when we drive is that it is so important to have a practice that keeps us grounded, because when I see people on the roads these days, I notice a lot of mobile phones. I notice a lot of people who are racing on the roads, tired, stress levels are high, end of a long day, so our nervous systems can be shot. The first thing that I would say is connect with the breath, okay? And we hear that all the time, but really make the transition from breathing in that shallow way to that deep way, really using the full extent of your diaphragm, and try doing it in through the nose and out through the nose. And take your time doing that, okay? And you can do that at a stoplight. You know, I'm not sure you can do it behind the wheel. You might be. I sometimes practice certain breaths behind the wheel, not that one in particular. Mm-hmm. There is another wonderful breath that is very quick to change our entire glandular system. And we hit the pituitary gland very quickly in this breath. It's a segmented breath. And it's four parts inhale through the nose and four parts exhale through the nose. So it sounds like this. And you just keep doing it continually. And you could just do that for 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, we begin to really create a shift in our glandular system. We change the chemistry of the blood. At 7 minutes, we begin to shift from the negative to the positive mind. And at 11 minutes, the yogis believe that the real magic begins to happen. But really start with a 3-minute practice. I tell this to everybody. Oh, I can't get to my meditation class, or I'm unable to sort of sit for longer than 7 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is. And I say to them, well, can you commit to 3? Because in 3 minutes, you can alter the chemistry of your blood. And in 3 minutes, you can create a shift. So to all those people on the road, connect with the breath, okay? Maybe experiment with a segmented breath to start, and see if you can get to a class. You know, especially if you're having a particularly bad day, find out where classes are happening and get to them.
How important is it to practice something like yoga alongside, for example, the gym or something else?
Okay, that's a great question, Maz. So what I would say about that is that gym is great. Gym is great. We're releasing endorphins. We're releasing lots of happy hormones. We're giving ourselves that physical dimension that is needed. And we're working with the strength of our bodies. And to some extent, our breath. Yoga, and I feel that we lose sight of this a lot. Yoga literally means to yoke, okay? To yoke the union and the finite, to yoke the finite with the infinite, okay? Or the union of the finite with the infinite. So what is it that you are doing that is bringing you back into that union, into that oneness? The thing with gym is it is a physical practice, and that's great, and it helps us to feel fantastic up to a point. But what sort of ritual do you have in your life that brings you back into the now, that brings you back into that connection between you and everything around you, that helps you to really overcome that illusion of separation? You and I just sitting here now, there's a connection taking place, but it's because we are connected. And it's not that you sitting in your body and me sitting in my body is actually the Maya. It's the illusion of separation. So having a practice that grounds us into the now, that grounds us into that remembrance, that grounds us into the union of the finite and the infinite, is really fundamentally what yoga is about. Yoga means to yoke. It is not just a physical practice. It is a practice that merges the mind, the body, and the spirit.
That's beautiful. Where can they follow you on social media and on your website?
So social media, I Instagram at Nancy Zabaneh Life. So N-A-N-C-Y-Z-A-B-A-N-E-H Life. So I think all my accounts. I also have a page called Kundalini Yoga Teacher Training in the Arabian Gulf. I manage the teacher trainings here in the UAE. And I have a website. So a website under my first and last name, Nancy Zabaneh.
Thank you so much. Sending you so much love and light. Thank you for your time, Nancy. And I can't wait to practice some more Kundalini yoga.
Thank you, Maz. You would be so, so welcome. I really, really look forward to having you. Satnam.
Satnam. Thank you for spilling the tea, which was today, I think, fennel and licorice. And we had some handmade protein balls as well. So.